which is just very much connected with this time. This is the month, the lunar month. Lunar month of Kartik, it is called, but it is dedicated to a particular form of the Lord, Krishna, named Damodar. And it's very special time. My gosh, what's going on here?
Watch out.
You got to hold it. Otherwise it goes back. Okay. No, it's all right. Relax. Look at that. We've got it. It's okay. Sit down. Relax. Cheyenne Corral. That's taking it too far, isn't it?
She's on Vibertime.
It's okay. Oh, it's okay. It's all right. Oops. And now whoever's phone this is, the thing switches off. Oh, my Lord. Who? Whose phone is it? Your phone. Okay, it's all right. Okay, so let me just read this verse before it switches off again. First of all, just repeat after me, please. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Okay. Yes, so let's read. Oh, you got to flick the switch. But it's upside down. No, it's not. It's that way. Didn't work. The other one, sorry. Okay. So this now, devotees and friends, this is Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 9. Verse 20. Nemam virincho nabhavo nashirap yanga samshaya prasadam labire gopi yattat prapa vimuktidat. Please listen to the translation. Neither Lord Brahma nor Lord Shiva, nor even Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, who is always the better half of the Supreme Lord, can obtain from the Supreme Personality of Godhead the deliverer from this material world, such mercy as received by Mother Yashoda. And just an interesting point, particularly for the devotees. You notice in the verse there's the word prasadam. See? But actually it means mercy. It means mercy. Although we apply it in a certain context, but actually it means mercy. And as the verse says, nobody got mercy like Mother Yashoda. In fact, she got so much mercy, it's so significant. The whole month is dedicated to this pastime. Yes, okay. Let me... I'll read a little bit of the purport. I won't read the whole thing. This is a comparative study between Mother Yashoda and other devotees of the Lord. As stated in Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila, chapter 5, verse 142. Ekale Ishvara Krishna, Ara Sabha Vritya. The only Supreme Master is Krishna, and all others are his servants. Krishna has the transcendental quality of Vritya Vashyata, becoming subordinate to his Vritya, or servant. Now, although everyone is Vritya, servant, and although Krishna has the quality of becoming subordinate to his Vritya, the position of Mother Yashoda is the greatest. Lord Brahma is Vritya, a servant of Krishna, and he is Adi Kavi, the original creator of this universe. Tene Brahma Hridaya Adi Kavaye. Nonetheless, even he could not obtain such mercy as Mother Yashoda. As for Lord Shiva, he is the topmost Vaishnav or devotee of Krishna. Vaishnavanam yata shambhu. That's a verse or a line from a verse in the very last chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam. Lord Shiva is the greatest devotee of Krishna. What to speak of Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva? Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, is the Lord's constant companion in service, since she always associates with his body. But even she could not get such mercy. Therefore, Maharaj Parikshit was surprised, thinking, what did Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj do in their previous lives by which they got such a great opportunity, the opportunity to be the affectionate father and mother of Krishna? Okay, let's just say a few words about this. Well, there's a whole story here. Let's briefly recount the story behind it. Is behind this whole month. This whole month means lunar month. You know, normally, of course, normally, practically, just about 99.99% of the population, at least outside India, they follow the solar calendar. But you never know what day it is. I mean, unless you've got access to some sort of some way of, like, something to refer to. Like, yeah, something to refer to. But here now, lunar calendar means you just look at the moon and you know, oh, okay, it's this day. It's amazing, actually. Yeah, at least once you're used to it, then you can look at the moon and you know, right, it's this day today. So this lunar month of Damodar, dedicated to this particular form of Lord Krishna, Damodar, there's a whole story behind it. There's a whole story. Let me just briefly recount the story. And the thing is, the reason that the whole month is dedicated to this pastime is because, at least one reason, is because the lesson we learn from this pastime is so valuable. It's just so valuable. Yeah, so important. So anyway, so the pastime then, Lord Krishna as a little child, as just a little child, he is only three. Lord Krishna was being naughty. He is the original child. He's the original person. So he's the original child. And children are prone to be naughty. Do we have children here tonight? Oh, look. Oh, well, she's big. Yeah. How old are you now? 6? 7?
5.
5, okay. Anyway, she's a big 5. Krishna was smaller. Krishna was only 3 at this time. And when children, particularly little boys, am I right, ladies? Particularly little boys, they're prone to be naughty. Like, seriously naughty. And they get it from Krishna. That's where they get it from. That's where everyone gets everything from. From Krishna. Why do you think we have 2 eyes and 1 mouth? Because Krishna does. We got it from him. Yeah, he's like the original sort of prototype, something like that, you could say. Yeah. Yes, so Krishna as a little child was naughty, therefore little children are naughty. So Krishna was being naughty. Well, actually, I don't want to go into too much detail. Mother Yashoda was churning yogurt into butter. I don't know if any of you residents of Shell Cross have ever done that. Did you ever make your own butter back in the old days when you lived on the farm? Yeah? You know, normally in the Western world we make butter out of cream. Therefore it's very rich. It may be too rich, actually. But in those days they made yogurt butter out of yogurt. And it's not so rich. Yeah, so you can eat it. You can't really eat butter now. Just take a 250 grams and just go for it. Although I know a few people who do. But with butter made from yogurt, you know, interesting point, it's white. It's white. Yogurt's white. So, okay. So Mother Yashoda was churning the yogurt to make butter. And simultaneously, she was multitasking. Motherly multitasking. Simultaneously, she was breastfeeding Krishna. You know, nowadays, a lot of ladies don't breastfeed their children because they want to go back to the factory and work as soon as possible to get money, because money is the honey. And children, well, you know, they're okay, but better to leave them to granny. So granny can have a second motherhood. Bung a bottle in the child's mouth. But actually, you know, the Vedic system and actually the right system is children are breastfed. You know, like up to the time they go to school or even beyond that. It's very good for them. Particularly it's good for boys. And when a child is being breastfed, that means the child, that is the most, like, safe, sheltered, satisfying position for a child. It's sort of like child heaven to be breastfed. So Mother Yashoda was doing that, and Krishna was extremely happy. But then suddenly she saw a pot of milk in the kitchen. She was in the courtyard. A pot of milk in the kitchen was about to boil over. She just put Krishna down just like that. One moment he's being breastfed. It's like the perfection of life for a child. The next moment, you know, unceremoniously, he's on his back on the ground looking up at the sky. And what happened to Ma? Yeah, so Krishna, this is just part of his pastimes. Part of his pastimes. Sometimes it's a little difficult for people to understand these things unless they're, you know, sort of trained or familiar with the subject matter to some degree. But Krishna, in his childish mood, in his pastime, he became angry. As little children sometimes do with their mother. You know, there's back and forth, it's going on all day between mother and child. So Krishna became a bit angry. He took a rock, broke the pot. It was a clay pot. She was churning the yogurt into butter in. And all this half-formed butter and half buttermilk and half milk, you know, because she hadn't completed the process. She was just in the middle of it. So everything was sort of half and half. It all came out, maybe 20 liters, and just went all over the floor. What a mess. But Krishna had not had enough. Krishna then somehow, even though he's only three, he just turned three, he climbed up. There were pots of butter and various other yogurt and cream and whatnot suspended from the ceiling. And Krishna climbed up and broke some of them. And the contents also came out on the floor. What a mess! What an incredible mess. Like 100 liters, can you imagine? Housewives, 100 liters of all this stuff on your floor. Whoa, a housewife's nightmare. So then Krishna ate some, and it is a long story, so we won't go into the details. But Krishna ate some. In fact, he ate so much that he didn't want to eat more. And some monkeys came, and Krishna started feeding butter to the monkeys. He's not a monkey. You can act. So the monkeys, they were accepting the butter and eating the butter. And to the point, they couldn't eat any more. And so Krishna now is offering the butter to the monkeys. And the monkeys are just backing off. No more. Don't go over the edge. Yeah, no more. It's enough. And at that point, Mother Yashoda returned. Right at that point, Krishna is offering the butter to the monkeys. The monkeys are refusing. I don't think they know to shake their heads. And Mother Yashoda walked in and she saw this. And Krishna, because he's feeling irritated with his mother, like severely irritated, Krishna saw her coming and said, "Listen, Mata, just see. Your butter is so bad, even the monkeys won't eat it." And then Mother Yashoda decided, that's it. That is it. He has gone too far, this boy. And I have to discipline him for his own good. I have to train him. Otherwise he'll grow up bad. You know, Krishna already had a bit of a reputation as a thief. Butter thief, makan chor. Makan chor. And Mother Yashoda was anxious. She was worried that he, you know, he's already developing a stealing habit. I've got to cure him of that. Otherwise, if he keeps, and if particularly if he develops the stealing habit more and more, He's going to grow up and become a criminal. Now he's stealing butter. In the future, he may hijack motor cars. Of course, they didn't have motor cars in those days, but hijack buffalo cars. Ox wagons, something like that. Or maybe he'll become the head of the Makan Mafia and become a real criminal. And the police will catch him, and people will think, what sort of useless mother did this person have? Couldn't even bring him up properly to be a proper human being. So Mother Yashoda was anxious, and therefore she decided to discipline Krishna. It's all just the exchange of the pastime, of the leela. Yes, because Krishna is God, and God doesn't need to be disciplined. There's no question. You know, he does the disciplining, and we get disciplined. But in the leela, in the pastime, then she feels like that. Mother Yashoda feels like that. She must train, correct Krishna for his own good. Not just, you know what it's like nowadays, so many parents, if the children are naughty, they hit them. Hit them. Yeah, this is not good. It's really not good. Part of the challenge of being a parent, you know, I'm sure a number of you here are parents, even seasoned, experienced parents. But you know, the test of a good parent is they can correct the child effectively so the child comes right without using violence. What do you think of that? No hitting, no stick, none of these things. Not even slapping. But with different strategies, correcting the child. So the child grows up to become a proper human being, like a cultured person, a person of character. So Mother Yashoda was very concerned. She wanted to do that, but how to do it? She thought, aha, I will tie Krishna up. So therefore, I'm not going to hurt him, but I'll restrict him. So he cannot just run off and do whatever he wants. In this way, he will learn a good lesson. This is what she thought. So she then tried to catch Krishna. The thing is, though, Krishna's three, little boy, but very nimble, very agile, you know, very quick, dodgy. And Mother Yashoda, again, it's a bit of a long story, but she was kind of middle-aged. She was not the sort of age you expect women to be if they have a three-year-old child. You know, normally that means sort of 20s or maybe around 30. But she was older. She was like 40s, something like that. Because they had not had any children. They had not been able to. But then they got some special blessings and Krishna came. But she and her husband were already middle-aged. Prabhupada was asked by an artist how to depict Krishna. And Prabhupada said he should be a little, you know, sort of little heavily built, not too much, but a little bit, and graying hair means middle-aged. Mm-hmm. So Mother Yashoda then, she's trying to catch Krishna, but Krishna did not want to be caught. And Krishna is quick, and Mother Yashoda is not. She's slow. So she couldn't catch Krishna. Plus, Krishna's God, and you know, you cannot just catch God and just sort of order him around, get him to do what you want very easily at all. You know, if it was easy to get God, to sort of control God and get him to do for you what you want, this world, I think Shalcross would be full of rich people, isn't it? With extremely good health. You get me? You follow the idea? I think so. Because this is what people pray to God for. Health, wealth, and a house by the sea. Om Jai Jagadisha Hare. So, but here in Shalcross, there are not so many, are there? What we call back in Unit 5, Lanis. Excuse me, please don't mind. I've been living in Chatsworth too long. Almost 40 years. Yeah, so, but in Shalcross, you know, I know Shalcross so well, it's kind of middle class, you could say, economically. Yeah. So to control God and get him to do what you want, it's not so easy. And here she wants to catch him and tie him up and really control him. Not just get him to fulfill a desire, but to really capture him. So she couldn't. But then her mood of motherly concern that this little boy, if he doesn't get straightened out, he is going to grow up bad and have a bad future, and you know, it could be very unfortunate for him. In that mood of motherly concern, well, that mood was increasing and increasing and increasing until it overflowed. And then it overpowered Krishna. Krishna became overpowered by the mood of motherly, loving concern for his well-being of his mother, Yashoda. Just see. She didn't just get him to fulfill her desire. She actually captured him and held him, controlled him in that sense. But then she had to tie him up. This was her plan. Not that she's going to hold on to him for a couple of hours. She wanted to tie him up for a while. So she got some rope. Some rope, you know, a couple of meters, 2 or 3 meters maybe. Put it around his waist. Because this form of the Lord, Dhammada, it means, Dhamma means rope. Udara means waist or belly, like stomach, like that. So Dhammada means one who is tied with rope around the waist. So she got this rope. Looks like enough. You know, Krishna's 3. He's just small boy. Small child. Few meters of rope. 3 meters must be enough. Put it around Krishna. Devotees and friends, you know what happened. It was 2 fingers too short. How mysterious. 3 meters of rope. Little boy. How could it be too short? Oh, well, let's just get more. Then she had 5 or 6 meters of rope. It was 2 fingers too short. How amazing. And devotees, you must know, if 5 or 6 meters of rope will not get around your waist, you have been eating too much prasada, too much butter paneer. and various other things, Mongolarity speaks. So, yeah, 5-6 meters of rope is 2 fingers too short. All right, get more and more and more, until she really had a lot of rope, like hundreds of meters. It was 2 fingers too short. How could it be? It couldn't be, but it was. But then again, the same phenomenon we mentioned in regards to catching him. That mood of motherly, loving concern for the well-being of her beloved child. Again, it was just increasing and increasing as she was unable, then unable, then unable again to tie him, until it overflowed again. And then it overpowered Krishna. She was able to tie Krishna, even if she just had a centimeter of rope. Somehow, mystically, it would have been enough. Yes. So that's sort of the essence of the pastime. Like we said, it's a long story. There is more. We could keep you here. We could have a Damodar night. I was in Mauritius a while ago. We had a Prabhupada night. Started around 7. About 9:30 we stopped. And one devotee protested, "Wait a minute. I thought we were going to have a Prabhupada night. We just had a Prabhupada evening." So we could have a Damodar night. But we won't. Okay. So that's kind of the essence of the pastime, more or less. And it's a very beautiful pastime. And we see the power of love. We see the power of love. You know, they say, there's a saying, love makes the world go round. Have you heard that before? It's a bit of a misnomer. A mistaken use of language. In this world, what they should have said is, lust makes the world go round. Because it's really more like that. Lust is a perverted reflection of love, because love means selfless, with no personal desire, simply the desire to please the beloved. That's all. That's love. And the situation where you look good to me, I look good to you, let's get together. This is basically lust. This is lust, actually. Just that selfish desire I want to enjoy for my satisfaction. And if after some time, if I'm getting enjoyment from you, but if after some time the enjoyment I'm getting from you reduces and someone else comes along, an alternative person who it seems I can get more enjoyment from, then what happens? Then I dump you. I dump you. And I go off with the other person until they cease to satisfy me. Yeah. So yes, lust is a perverted form of love. It's almost like the opposite. In fact, in Bhagavad Gita, in the beginning of the 15th chapter, if you're familiar with Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna talks about the tree, a tree which is standing right on the bank, on the edge of a lake. And therefore, in the lake, you can see the reflection. And, you know, if it's a windless day and the lake is just calm, then the reflection of the tree, it looks just like the tree. every leaf, every little piece, you can see. But it's just a reflection. And if you try, for example, to pick a fruit from the reflection, there's nothing there. You try to take it out of the water, but you come out empty-handed. Smell a flower in the reflected tree, you just get a nose full of water. Because it's insubstantial. There's nothing there. It looks, but there's no substance. Yeah. And in the real tree, in the real tree, if we look at the real tree as being a reflection or a manifestation of existence, at the top of the tree, the very top thing is love. The very top thing is love, and ultimately means love for God, love for Krishna. At the top is Radha and Krishna. In the reflection, what happens? The top of the real tree in the reflection is the bottom. It's the end. Yes. So, in the spiritual world, in the kingdom of God, love of Krishna is at the top. In the reflection, this material world, lust is the lowest thing, the most degraded thing, most degrading thing. Yeah. So anyway, so we're just saying, Mother Yashoda has so much love, so much sincere concern for Krishna's well-being, in love, that she was able to control Krishna, and not just get him to give her something, but to actually control him, so he couldn't move. So Mother Yashoda is extremely powerful. Who can control God like that? But this is the power of love. And so now this pastime, and the lesson we learn from this pastime, that actually we should try and cultivate a relationship with the Lord in a mood of love, for his satisfaction, for his pleasure, and not just, what am I going to get from him? This lesson is so important. It's just so important that, devotees and friends, the whole month is dedicated to it. On Thursday, we're celebrating Govardhan Puja, when Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill and held it on the little finger of his left hand. You know, on, what is it, Wednesday is Diwali, am I right? Wednesday is Diwali. You know, these are one-day celebrations. Even Krishna Janmashtami, the birthday of Krishna, generally is a one-day celebration. This pastime, this Damodar pastime, is celebrated, observed for 1 month. It must mean something. It must mean something. There's such exceptional, special importance there. Yes, that we must learn, try to learn and try to apply, that love, render service to the Lord for his pleasure, and not be worried, what am I going to get out of it? But don't worry, Krishna will look after you. Don't think that if I get all concerned about serving Krishna and pleasing him, and I don't worry about looking after me, that I'm going to end up, you know, with nothing, just a loser. No. Krishna is very kind to his devotees. And the more the devotees try to give themselves to him, the more he reciprocates. Let me close by telling you a little story. Yes. I'll close by telling the story. I think many of you know the story of Sudama, the Brahmin. He was a school friend of Krishna's. But then after school, they went their separate ways. Krishna became prince in Dwaraka. And Sudama was just a very poor Brahmin, like a very poor priest. And he was so poor, he couldn't even feed his family every day. Some days they'd have nothing. And his wife asked him, you know, I don't mind not eating sometimes, but our children don't understand. Why don't you go see your old friend Krishna? He's prince in Dwaraka now. He's rich. And ask him at least for enough money so we can get food for our children. That's all. So again, it's a long story. We have many long stories in Krishna consciousness. But he went and he met Krishna in Dwaraka. And they were so happy to see each other after many years since they left school. They stayed up the whole night just catching up on what have you been doing and what's been happening and like that. And Sudama forgot to ask. He forgot his mission to ask for food, money for food for his children. And only after he'd left and he's on his way home, he remembered, I forgot to ask for money to feed the children. Yeah. But then he arrived home and he saw his little hut. He had been living in a hut with his family. It had transformed into a palace, Raj Mahal. And he thought, well, maybe I took the wrong turning. And this is some other place. But then his wife came out of the palace very nicely, opulently dressed and decorated. And he understood, this was Krishna. Krishna did this. And I didn't even ask. And if I had asked, I was only going to ask for money to feed the children. And I didn't even ask for that and see what Krishna did. So Krishna looks after his devotees. If we really try and serve him in that selfless spirit, he looks after his devotees. Now, devotees and friends, don't be disappointed if, when you go home after the program, your house in Chatsworth or Shellcross, don't be disappointed if it hasn't transformed into a palace. We are not on the level of Sudama. But still it's a fact that Krishna looks after his devotees. And the idea of religion is not just what can God do for me? And if he doesn't do for me what I want, I'll teach him a lesson, I'll convert, I'll become a Christian. Take that, Krishna. Ha ha. No, that's not the idea. We're just missing the point. Just missing the point. It's sort of like thinking that a car is just something you can sit in outside. Like an outdoor seat. But of course there's a lot more to a car than that. So Krishna is not just someone you just ask for things from. There's more to it than that. Much better. Much better. And that's what's illustrated in this pastime. That because of Mother Yashoda's love, Krishna became completely controlled by her. And when she told him, jump, he would jump. Yeah, just like that. So, one thing we do every day during this month of Damodar, we offer lamps. We offer lamps to Damodar on the altar here. We're going to do that in a minute or two. But isn't it according to the program, following this program, right? Okay, next item on the program, devotees and friends, it won't take long, but it's very nice. It is the birthday of one of the devotees assembled here. A few days ago. That's okay. So it is the birthday of the esteemed, respected, honorable president of our temple just down the road. In Can I ask you how old you are, or should I? Would it be better not? 38.
38. You forgot to use that.
Huh?
I said you forgot to say 90. It's from chat.
Say what?
I said, why is it? The chat would tell me 90.
Oh, well, 90, okay. As Parthasarathy Maharaj would say, a boy 90. As opposed to a girl 90. Okay, so are we going to do something about it? So hopefully we're going to have a cake.